Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. Today, we will begin a four-part discussion about four specific enemies that every leader faces. Andy, I think that most leaders, if they believe they have an enemy, it's, you know, it's a competitor or maybe someone under them that's trying to take over their position. But the bottom line of our discussion is that there are enemies that come from a surprising place.
Yeah, as we're going to discuss in these next few podcasts, we're going to talk about the enemies that come from within. And when I say that, I think all of our listeners could immediately think to the recent news about political leaders, business leaders who basically self-destructed. Their enemies were not the competition. It wasn't the marketplace. It wasn't natural disaster. It was internal disaster. And so for the next few months, that's what we're going to talk about.
Andy, when you say from within.
Well, this is that strange thing that we probably all have different terminology for. But for our purposes of our discussion, we're going to talk about the heart, that these enemies come from the heart. And these are enemies of the heart. This is that internal, ethereal part of us, intangible part of us. Someone might refer to as our soul, our inner child. I don't know. And it's not important. What we do know and what we all have in common is that there is that within us that comes out of us that impacts us at every single level of our professional life and personal life. So we're going to talk about these enemies of the heart. My first exposure to this idea was actually – it came from something Jesus said. He was in a discussion with some religious leaders about dietary law, and they were arguing about what they should and shouldn't eat and what was legal in terms of a religious context, what they could and couldn't eat. And he makes this incredible statement. He said, you know, it's really not what you put in your body that pollutes the body. It's what comes out of the mouth that pollutes the body. And then he goes on to say that everything we say – and you know, you might push back against this a little bit – but he says everything that we say, every word that comes out of us comes from our heart. And when you stop to think about that, that's true because we've all had that experience where we said something and then we put our hand over our mouth and we said, oops, I didn't mean that, but we did. You know, I didn't mean to say that, but that's what I was thinking. And so consequently, he said all of these words, good or bad, come from the heart. And so consequently, I believe we lead from the heart.
Why is this especially, I guess, important to us as leaders?
The reason this is so important to leaders is if everything that comes out of my mouth comes from my heart, then the heart becomes the grid through which my leadership is expressed. And this is true for all leaders. So if there are destructive things in my heart or in your heart, and they're going to make their way into my leadership, then ultimately they're going to make their way into my organization. And my entire organization, your entire organization is going to be impacted by your heart. And this happens divisionally, departmentally, or organization-wide. And because of that, Lane, that makes these next four discussions a little bit different than any other discussion we've had before. A little bit touchy-feely, a little bit introspective. But you know, again, every leader listening has been led by someone who had, as we're going to talk about, heart problems. And consequently, they saw that lived out in their personal leadership and they saw how it impacted the organization. So we want to be that unique set of leaders that's able to face this, embrace it, and make necessary changes.
Well, it's easy to see why this is such an important thing to monitor. And we're going to dig into the first of these enemies by listening to an excerpt of a talk you did at a Catalyst conference a few years ago called State of the Heart Leadership. Then we'll come back and talk about it.
Guilt says, I owe you. The guilty leader has a secret. The guilty leader has secrets. Their secrets may not stem from what's happening within the context of their leadership. It could be from within the context of their family, their past, a relationship. Guilty leaders have a secret and they live and they lead from this standpoint. I owe you. I have a secret. I know something you don't know, and if you were to know it about me, it would impact your view of me. It would impact your willingness to follow me. Therefore, as a leader with a secret, I must create an environment where no one finds me out. The guilty leader finds it difficult to trust. Do you know why guilty leaders find it difficult to trust? Because they are not trustworthy. And we always seem to reflect, have a tendency to reflect on others what is true of us. Guilty leaders tend to micromanage because they're just not, they sort of assume everybody else has a secret. And I know you're up to something, and I know she's up to something because I know I'm up to something. Second bullet point, the guilty leader builds walls, not community. You ever work for somebody who's talented, but you just can't get close? You just can't get in? And you realize that it's not just because they're an introvert, it's not just a personality thing. There's something going on. The guilty leader comes across distant and distracted. Distant and distracted. And the guilty leader often overreacts to people who share their weaknesses. You ever been around somebody who overreacts? Don't you know? You're smart enough. You already know this. It's generally because it's something in them. It's just not the environment. Now, here's the deal. We're gonna talk about this throughout the lesson. When I talk about that, your first tendency, I know you because I'm just like you, your first tendency is like mine. I go, oh, I know somebody like that. She's here. I used to work for a guy like that. You're talking about my senior pastor, you know, you're talking about, you know, all of a sudden, and here's what I want you to hear. This is because this is the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson isn't to go home and resign, or the point of the lesson isn't to go back and say, you really should have been a catalyst. With, you know, read this, you know. Because here's the deal. This is a conference, primarily we're young leaders. You're not going to be where you are today at 10 years from now. You're moving on and you're moving up and you're moving out. You're going to create things. You're going to begin churches. You're going to start organizations. One day you will be at the top of the pile. And if you will allow God to give you enough introspection and courage and security to ask the question, hey, not what's going on out there, but what's going on in here, then you could possibly free yourself from becoming the kind of person that you just thought about as we went through the list. The question isn't who around you is guilty. The question is this: do you have a secret? Do you have a secret from your past that it begins to interfere in relationships and you know at times you're detached, that you just can't let people get too close and you've wondered why? It could be because you're guilty. Number two, the consequences, a culture of suspicion, which makes teamwork almost impossible. A culture characterized by professional courtesy rather than genuine community. You see, guilty people aren't really bothered by relationships that stay on the surface because they're comfortable there. And relationships that move past the surface make them a little bit insecure. And if you don't know better, especially as a young leader, you will think that's how to lead. The tendency will be to think, since he's so great and she's so great and they're so talented and they've accomplished so much, maybe when I'm in charge, I need to lead from the standpoint of distance. Don't get too close. Don't allow people on the inside. No, that's not the case at all. It could just be very, very well be that that distance is a reflection of something on the inside. That's guilt.
Andy, you said that guilt creates a debt. Now, connect the dots. How does that affect my leadership?
Well, all of us have felt guilty about something. And when you feel guilty, there's a sense in which you owe someone something. That is, that's the whole relationship between guilt and debt is, you know, I've taken something from you. I've stolen something from you. I feel guilty. Now I owe you. The only way to make things right is to pay you back. So consequently, who do I avoid the most? I avoid most the people that I owe the most to. And so what happens when an individual, especially leader, carries around a load of guilt over something in the past, maybe the distant past, maybe something really, really big, what happens is anyone who reminds me of the fact that I'm guilty, then I avoid, or I'm going to feel at odds with, and they may have no idea. So consequently, a leader who's carrying guilt about something personal, it could be something moral, it could be something financial, it could be something from a previous job, guilt goes with us everywhere we go, and we try to compartmentalize and try to, you know, shove that in a drawer and say, well, that was then, that was a previous marriage, that was whatever. But if I'm carrying guilt, then I'm going to be overly sensitive to anyone or any set of circumstances that reminds me that I owe someone a debt, and we carry that into a professional life. So consequently, the guilty leader, their guilt is going to become a grid through which they lead.
And you talk about this guilt really stemming from keeping a secret.
Yeah, exactly. If I've got guilt, then I have a secret. Otherwise, I have exposed my error or, you know, whatever I've done in the past, and I've gotten that cleared up. So again, in secrets, as we've talked about in the past, secrets tend to get worse over time. They're those ugly, squiggly things we don't want to look at and we don't want anyone to know about. And when an individual has a secret, they work very, very hard to keep it a secret. Leaders with secrets lie to keep their secrets secrets. Leaders with secrets cover up to keep their secrets secrets. And anything or anyone who gets close to discovering the secret suddenly there's relational tension and no one knows why. And sometimes the leader doesn't even recognize it. So again, that's why I said up front, these issues of the heart are the grid through which we do life. And these issues of the heart are the grid through which we lead. So the guilty leader is going to carry that into their leadership.
And it creates sort of a keep the focus off of me and a focus on you type of thing.
Yeah. And if you've ever worked for someone or reported to someone who had a secret, who was carrying a load of guilt, every once in a while you stumbled over something and you knew you had touched a wound. You knew you had accidentally peeled off a scab, and all of a sudden there's energy and there's anger and there's blaming and there's let's change the subject and there's tense and there's all that. And you have no idea why, but it impacts your relationship with that person. And again, there's a leadership dynamic that's established around something that's invisible. It's the elephant in the room, but it's the elephant that only the leader knows about.
So, Andy, this could potentially impact an entire organizational culture.
Absolutely. This impacts the transparency of relationships. This impacts what can and cannot be discussed. I tell you what else happens to a leader. This impacts the information they do and do not get. Because when I feel like the person I'm reporting to gets a little tense, gets a little irritated, gets a little defensive, gets a little distant, then consequently I avoid those topics and I avoid that kind of information and I find out where the walls are. So what you do is you get an organization that's professional, but there's always distance. It's courteous, but there's not a lot of relational depth. It definitely impacts the idea of team because team requires an element of transparency. Team requires a culture where people aren't walking on eggshells. But when a leader is carrying guilt and automatically reacts to anything that gets close to exposing their secret, it impacts the culture and it could potentially impact an entire organization.
Andy, you make the point also that guilt can make it very difficult to trust others.
Yeah, guilt makes it almost impossible to trust other people because I know I'm not trustworthy. Now, I may not acknowledge that. Again, all of these things are so difficult to see in the mirror, but I'm going to telegraph my lack of trustworthiness onto the people around me. I know I have secrets. I bet you have one. I know I'm not telling the whole truth. I bet you're not. I know I'm not going to fully engage with this lest somebody find out my secret, so I bet you're doing the same thing. So again, it creates this invisible dynamic that's so incredibly unhealthy, and it all stems back oftentimes to a manager or a leader who's got a secret. They've got to cover it. They can't tell the whole truth. They can't fully engage. They've got to create a culture of distance, and it impacts the entire team.
Yeah, and everyone and everything becomes suspect at that point.
Yeah. Leaders with secrets are the most suspicious people you'll ever meet because, again, they just suspect everybody's like them, and there's something that they're not telling.
So, Andy, before we get to solutions, first of all, how do you know if guilt is affecting you?
Well, I think the safe assumption is for every leader, if you have secrets, and I don't mean secrets like personal things that's nobody's business. I mean if you've done things wrong, if you owe people money, if you're hiding, if you're having an affair, if you're stealing, if you left your previous company and you got away with some things and there's nothing they can do about it, ha, 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 but you found a loophole in the law or you found a loophole in the handbook. If you're carrying that kind of unresolved guilt, I promise you it is impacting your leadership. And you may never be able to connect the dots, but this is the nature of guilt. You are carrying it around in a backpack on your back, and it is impacting your relationships at home, your friendships, possibly your health, the habits that you can't seem to break, the things that you're using to cover, and consequently, it is impacting you at work. It is impacting you professionally. So whether a person sees it or not, I think it's just safe to assume it. And I think when an individual, especially somebody who's really good at connecting the dots and has enough self-awareness to pause and not just go ahead and turn this podcast off because they don't like it. I think when we pause, reflect on our past, and then look and think about the things that people say about us, our performance reviews, the things that come up over and over and over, as we begin to connect the dots, I think people begin to understand, yep, this is following me. I can just assume that it's impacting my leadership. In addition to just assuming if there's guilt, it's impacting leadership. I think some simple questions a leader can ask is basically, what am I hiding? What is it about me I hope no one here finds out? What is the question? This is a tough one. What is the question I hope no one asks? What is the discovery that I'm afraid, if it's made, could impact my future with this company or my career? Just some simple questions like that, and suddenly we're face to face with that stuff that we'd rather, you know, keep in the background of our lives. But leaders are better leaders when they know, when they face it, and when they're willing to take a step to deal with it.
Well, I guess we can say that's the bad news. There are these enemies that attack from within, but there's good news too, right?
Yeah, for each of these four things, there's a simple solution. In fact, they're so simple, the tendency is to run right by them. And the solution or the antidote to guilt is, sounds like a religious word, it's not, is confession. It's you tell somebody. You get it off your back. That's you know, the phrase we use is, I got to get this off my chest. Well, you're carrying some things on your back. You don't see them, but they're there. So consequently, to be a better leader, a leader that knows they're carrying a secret, they've got to find a safe place and begin to unload and unpack.
Hey, Andy, I know there are leaders sitting out there saying, you know, that's just a little too easy.
Well, it's not easy. In fact, if it was easy, we would have already dealt with it. It's simple, but it's not easy. Here's the bottom line. Nothing breaks the power of a secret like confession. Secrets are so extremely powerful. Every parent listening to this podcast understands that with their children, because you know when something's bothering one of your children. How many conversations with a child have you had where you're saying, honey, what's wrong? Honey, what's wrong? Just tell me. And as a parent, you know, if I can just get this out of him, get this out of her, they're going to be so much better off no matter how bad it is. Well, that's not a dynamic we outgrow. So consequently, the way to, I guess, take the fangs out of our guilt, or to take the power away from our guilt, is to find a safe place to confess. And what is a safe place? It's somebody or something or an environment that is not connected to our profession, probably at the outset not even connected to our family. And as we begin to confess, then to be open to the fact there may be some people we need to go back to. But at the end of the day, to get rid of the guilt, to unload it once and for all. And Lane, you and I both know some people in the marketplace who've made some really difficult decisions as it relates to this, who took a hit professionally, in some cases took a hit financially. But if they were here today, they'd say, it's worth it. I'm a much better person. I'm a much better leader. I'm a much better father, much better mother. And so leaders just need to know they are leading from their heart, and they're leading through this grid of guilt if they're carrying guilt.
Well, Andy, as you said, it's something that we've all seen, and we all recognize inside of us the need for this. But why is it that we find it so hard to do?
I think one of the things that's true of most leaders, it's so important to us what people think. This is true of all people, but I think the more high profile we become, the more people that report to us, the more well we are known in our organization, division, company, whatever it might be, or church, we care what people think. And respect is a big deal. We know, because we're this way, it's easier for us to follow men and women, easier for us to follow leaders that we respect. And so lurking in the back of our minds is, if I confess this, if this is known, I will lose respect. And that is true. To some degree, we will. But there's also another element, and that is this. We don't mind following leaders who've made mistakes, but we don't want to follow leaders who are covering a mistake. We don't mind leaders who've made some bad decisions. We don't want to follow a leader that's covering a bad decision. And so consequently, as a leader evaluates the impact, what it's going to cost them to unload this guilt, to face this, to deal with it, those are the things swirling around the background. We want people to love us and to respect us, and we want people to follow us because of what they think about us. And so there's a huge risk when it comes to applying this principle. But again, it's worth it. But that's the reason I think, or that's the primary reason we push back on this.
Well, Andy, as we wrap up our look at the first enemy of the heart of a leader, are there any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say, as you've been listening to this, if something specific came to mind, I just want to encourage you to do something about it. Find the safest person, the safest place. Ask them if they think what you've just heard is true. Ask them, could this possibly be impacting me as a leader? At least begin the conversation somewhere with someone, even if you never take a second step. That first step, well, I guess one way of saying it is, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to begin unpacking the things from your past, unpacking the things from that previous organization, unpacking those things that you are carrying with you into your current leadership context. And if you'll take the first step by having that first difficult, transparent conversation, Who knows where that might lead, but my hunch, it's going to lead somewhere good. You'll be a better leader for it.
Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today. And if you'd like to read more from Andy on this topic, check out his newly re-released book entitled Enemies of the Heart, available from northpointstore.org, and get a free downloadable resource for leaders as our gift to you.